So I'm kneeling behind the rail over here to get my mind right, you know, because I can still wreck a one-car parade really easily. And I get up, just to know the kind of people that are your pastors, I get up and Pastor Dixon pushes me back down. No, no, you're not righteous enough yet. Oh, we are so blessed. Hey, we better pray, especially if I'm preaching. Hey, Lord, thanks for letting us laugh. Thanks for letting us cry, for being with us in the mountaintops and the valleys, for never, ever, ever letting us go. Thanks. How about just for today, Lord, you let us know what your will is for us, and then you please, please give us the power to do it. Thanks for letting us gather. In your name, Jesus, amen. Okay, so full disclosure. I mean, not full, total disclosure, because it can get kind of, I got a strange past, but we don't have that much time. We're going to spend about 45 minutes now looking at that reading that Pastor Dixon just read. But when I read this book, I have really strange eyes and a really strange mind. Of course, you knew that, right? When I look at this, I got a bias. I don't understand everything in this book. That's where I continue to look at it. And sometimes I say, I've never seen that before. What's going on? I've been reading it for more than a week now. It's a collection of faith stories. And one of the things I love about it is that I may be looking at it incorrectly. When I look at this, the people that God chooses to use to carry the message, you got to wonder. Because all the people are what? Flawed, imperfect, and broken. They're just like us. God uses imperfect people throughout this whole deal. We're looking at a guy starting this book of Romans. It's Paul's letter. So if you want to follow along in those Bibles that are in front of your knees, page 913 to 914. There's something in your program, too, if you want to make notes. Otherwise, it's a good time to nap, too. We're looking at this stuff. And this guy named Paul, who wrote this letter to this church in Rome, hasn't been there yet, but he's heard about him. Paul's the same guy that used to round up Christians and persecute them and, you know, put them in jail and that kind of stuff. Not a really nice guy. He has this road to Damascus issue. Wasn't that Acts 9, or was it Acts 6, or Acts 9? Acts 9, we read that how many weeks ago? It seems like forever. The stuff falls, and he has an aha moment, a powerful encounter with Christ. And now what Paul's trying to do is to carry the message. There's a different way to live your life. Paul wants to give back to others what he's been freely given to him, and it's been given to us too, all by Christ's life, death, and resurrection. The letter starts out. Did you see how it starts out? Hey, I'm introducing myself, and then right away in verse 8, he says what? First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Isn't that a nice greeting? You ever send someone a text, hey, thanking God for you? Try that sometime to your whole contact list. Thanking God for you. And then it goes so far, if you look at verse 9, he does what? This is where I got a little bit convicted. That I'm praying without ceasing every time I remember you always in my prayers. I remember you always in my prayers. Who do you pray for always? Think of that person, those people. Do you ever pray for people? This is a little uncomfortable now. You don't have to answer. Do you ever pray for people you don't like? People you can't stand them because they're so... Right? You don't have any of those people in your life, do you? Neither do I. People who live, what do they call that? Rent-free in our heads or taking up space. Decades ago, I was told by a really sweet, wonderful saint, very, very wise woman. She said this, hey, Kurt, maybe those people you don't like are spiritually sick just like you are. She's right. We all got issues. So Paul now tries to carry the message of God's love through Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. He wants everyone, not some, but everyone, to know and to embrace the love of God. He's been forgiven much. His life has changed for the better, and now he says it's a debtor. Pastor read it in the reading today. It's in this translation, a debtor, and that one, an obligation, that he now gets to carry the message. Verse 14, I'm an obligated to whom? What does he say? To Greeks and barbarians. Greeks are those really, really smart people like these two, right? They who know, all educated and stuff. Barbarians are more like knuckle draggers like me, right? First generation to walk upright, it's like, huh? Educated and uneducated, wise and foolish, Paul's obligation, Paul's debt. I think it's fair to say that after his experience in that Damascus Road deal, he wants to go make amends and pay it forward. His whole life is consumed now with spreading the news of salvation. Again, Paul is not a perfect dude. Paying his obligation and debt by proclaiming the message of Christ's love to all people, both Jews and Greeks, across all social and cultural and racial and economic lines. We cannot repay Christ for what he has done for us, but we can demonstrate gratitude by what? Loving others. Especially those people you don't like. This, I don't have to be in a relationship with them, but I can pray for them. Paul gets to the heart of the matter, the last two verses. We're almost done, by the way. You're doing a great job of staying awake. Look at verses 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God of sin salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And then, for it is in the righteousness of God is revealed through faith. For faith it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. Wow. I think it's fair to say that Paul's a big believer of faith alone. There's a character that came a long time after, this guy named Marty, what was his last name? Luther or something? The whole deal, who wants to learn Latin this morning? I learned something in church. Faith alone, solo fide. It's all about faith alone. Not what we do, but what we get to do. Paul gets to the center of the whole book, and I think in those two verses, it's by faith, it's by faith, it's by faith. Jesus provides us what we could never provide for ourselves. On our own merits, we are what? All guilty. I love the person who walks up to me and says, I'm good enough to get into heaven. Someone said it this way, a clear conscience is a result of poor memory. The only people who think they are good enough to get into heaven are people who do not know how bad they really are. So what does the gospel do? Thank you for asking. It saves sinners like us. It's not by science or by education or by religion or moral reformation or fame or fortune. The gospel is only the gospel to save sinners. The gospel has power to forgive sins, give us new life today, eternal life for all of our tomorrows. I still want to see your dad again. Faith alone. You know what faith is if you've ever gone to the doctor and the doctor says you need surgery. You know what faith is if you ever get into an airplane and trust that the pilot in the cockpit's going to get you there. You know what faith is. God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves, right? 78 years ago on June 6th, the Allied forces invaded Normandy in France. To stop what? Fascism, Nazis, evil. At the same time that's taking place in 1944, on the other side of the world, in the Pacific Rim, there's a battle going on over there too, against the Japanese Empire. This story was told to me, and the person said it's the truth. There's a death house in Chiang Kai, Burma. It was a Japanese prisoner of war camp during World War II. One evening, a Japanese guard announced that a shovel was missing. He shouldered his rifle, ready to kill the one prisoner one at a time until someone confessed. A Scottish soldier stood up and said, "I did it." And the officer beat him to death. The prisoners picked up the man's body and their tools, and they're returning to camp. Only then were the shovels recounted. The Japanese soldier had made a mistake. No shovel was missing after all. Christ Jesus lived the life that we could not live and took the punishment that we could not take to offer us a hope that we cannot resist. If Jesus loves us so, can we not love each other? Amen.